Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's about time for my guy to join the show. That would be Christian Fowler, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. You can find our podcast. It's called On the Bluff Pod. Anywhere you find your podcast, Spotify, Apple. You can go on YouTube. Just type in Bluff City Media. Go to that channel. You'll figure it out. And you can find him on Twitter at CFowlerBCM. Christian, what's up, man?
Oh, nothing much. We had a lot to talk about on the Bluff last night. Now we have a lot to talk about today, too.
Yeah, Penny gave us a lot the past couple weeks, didn't he?
Finally.
It's been quiet. But honestly, isn't it sort of contrary to the past? He's working, like, genuinely in silence. Like, the David Jones stuff, seeing he came on a visit, an official visit, late last week, no one had reported on that. Like, no one really knew that he was coming to campus. No one knew that the Tigers were involved until he ultimately was on campus and committed.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't post those pictures on his Instagram, like, do we know about him coming on a visit?
Right.
Or does he just surprisingly commit and everyone's like, what's going on? I think after he visited, there were some reports that Memphis was involved, Kentucky was involved, and a couple other schools were involved, but like, if he doesn't post those pictures, that might be one of those things where we don't know until he literally announced. I mean, John Rothstein's the one that broke it, but until someone would have broken the news that he committed, like, we may have not even known that Memphis was pursuing him.
So holler at me about him, man. I mean, 6'6", 210, St. John's transfer, went to St. John's after 2 years at DePaul, 13 points per game, 7 rebounds per game, seems relatively versatile, but there are some drawbacks, and I'm not going to – it's a great pickup. It's unbelievable considering the time of the calendar we're at. But 40% from the field at his size, not much of a three-point shooter, but still there's a scoring punch there and definitely some defensive upside.
Yeah, and I think that's really the only holes or flaws or negatives in his game that you can point at is the shooting percentages aren't great. Like you said, 40% from the floor, 29% from three, but other than that, like, very well-rounded, versatile player, averaged almost a steal and a half a game last year at St. John's. I think John Rothstein went as far to even say that he could see David Jones winning player of the year in the conference next year, which that speaks volumes, because I feel like so often, like, us as Memphis media, like, we can say things, and, you know, sometimes there are natural biases for being in a city and, you know, for covering a team for so long, but to hear a well-respected national media member say that David Jones has the ability and that is that type of player where he could see him in contention for Conference Player of the Year really says everything you need to know about the kind of player that he is.
So he's a double-double guy, played the three or four at St. John's. How do you feel about the comp? It's sort of Elijah McCadden with more scoring upside. Is that sort of on board? Are you on board with that comp?
Yeah, I mean, especially to keep the local ties and to have someone that was in a Memphis uniform last year.
Yeah, so we can have someone that hits close to home.
Right, exactly. And I think, like you said, the offensive upside is there. And just the overall upside, you know, I think he's just a better overall player. I'm not saying anything negative about Elijah McCadden at all, because he outperformed pretty much everyone's expectations on campus last year. But David Jones is a legit player and someone that could be the best player on this team. And that's how good I believe that he is and the potential that he has. But yeah, that role, that 3-4, I think is very comparable to what Elijah did last year. I think we saw Elijah bring the ball up a little bit more than David Jones. Well, I think he'll primarily play on the wing and play some of the four and small ball lineups, but the fit is perfect. And Penny has gotten so many players in this cycle and from the transfer portal that we've just said, this is like the most perfect fit there could be. I think we said that about TFAO Leonard, just because of his defensive prowess, Jonathan Pierre, because of what he brings as a big guard. And then now David Jones as well. It just feels like he's tailor made for Penny's system.
What is sort of the description you give? Let's leave DeAndre. We'll get to DeAndre Williams. There's plenty to get to there. We'll get to him in a second, but what's your sort of description of this roster headed into next year? Just as it's currently constructed. Obviously, we don't know about Mikey Williams, but I mean, I just look at some of these transfer portal additions, the guys they got that have experience. The only word I can come up with is versatile.
Yep, that's exactly where I was going. The first word that comes to mind to me is versatile. Just with what they have, the size, the positionless basketball that could be played with this lineup, but we talked about it last night. Just if you go with a hypothetical lineup, I'll just spit out five players, but just from what, you know, kind of guessing a little bit and educated guesses on what we've seen so far, what we've heard so far, like Caleb Mills is probably the one right now, 6'4", Jonathan Pierre, 6'9", TFAO Leonard, somewhere between 6'7" and 6'10", David Jones at 6'6", and then Nick Jourdain at 6'9". So it's monsters everywhere as far as just length and size. No, they don't have any 7-foot guys. They don't have any quote-unquote true centers or true big men, but they've got length, they've got versatility, they've got defensive prowess, they got guys that can get out and run the floor. And I think last year was a little bit different for Penny as far as the system goes. Obviously, you know, things are going to change every year because of the players that you have in the system that fits them best. You know, last year they were a little bit slower with Kendrick Davis at the helm, but I think this year we see a switch back to that, just run you to death. And that's what this feels like, and that's what this roster is set up for right now.
So I'm not worried about the defensive prowess even remotely, but when we talk about the offensive ability, let's just say, DeAndre Williams out of the fold for now. He is out of eligibility until the NCAA says otherwise. Where are you at offensively with this roster as currently constructed?
Obviously, I like it a lot more if DeAndre Williams gets in the fold, but
God, yes.
I'm not scared of it right now. I think they have guys that can score. I don't think they have an elite scorer, a proven elite scorer at this level currently, but you've got Caleb Mills who can score 13 to 15 a night. You've got David Jones who had proved at a high level last year at St. John's that he can score 14 points per game. You've got Jonathan Pierre who went on a tear over the last 20 games or so last year at Nova Southeastern at the D2 level. Obviously, it'll be interesting to see how that translates and what he's able to do offensively and what they ask him to do offensively. TFAO Leonard at MTSU last year, nearly a 9 point per game score. Nick Jourdain, a guy that can probably contribute 6 to 8 a night. So they've got guys that can score. I don't feel like they're a terrible offensive team by any means right now. Do I feel like DeAndre Williams takes it over the top? Absolutely. But currently, as it sits right now, I don't hate it at all. They've got plenty of guys that can score within that 10 to 17, 10 to 18 range on any given night.
Something that just keeps, I mean, it's year after year with Penny Hardaway. When he has his back up against the wall, when you feel like you're getting late in that recruiting clock, he does his best work, doesn't he?
Absolutely. And I'm going to steal your point from yesterday because I think it was really perfect in the way that it was put, in the fact that for so long, for the past month and a half, 2 months, everyone's been scratching their heads. What's going on? What's going to happen? Is he, you know, how does this shake out? And you pointed out that this DeAndre Williams stuff, this isn't something that just happened overnight. This is probably something the wheels have been turning on for some time now. It's not something that happens that quickly. So this is a plan that he's had all along. While everyone else has been in the dark and curious as to what's going to happen, Penny's been behind the scenes putting it together perfectly. And once again, being in that position where people are questioning it and people can't quite see the vision, they had the vision put together the whole time. And now we've seen most of it come to fruition. And really, DeAndre Williams is the last domino to fall, with the caveat of what happens with Mikey Williams.
All right. Now, DeAndre Williams, what do you think about his case, man? What do you think about him getting that extra year? It's just hard for me to get a finger on the pulse of like how the NCAA is going to go about making this decision. They don't do anything very fast. They don't put anything on the fast track. But what's your immediate feel, I guess, on DeAndre Williams getting that extra year?
I really don't know. Like DeAndre's had such a unique time frame from the time that, you know, he was at charter school until the time, until now, until his last season with Memphis, that it's like, how does this shake out? I mean, he's constantly battled with the NCAA at Evansville when he first got to Memphis, didn't play until the Tulane game, I believe was the 12th game of the season. So he's constantly had these battles with the NCAA. And so it'll be very interesting to see how it plays out, because you have, on one hand, you have DeAndre Williams' counsel saying they feel like they have a really good case. And then you have other people speculating and looking at things saying that this just doesn't line up. It doesn't make sense. But I think technically you get 5 years and he's only played four. So, right. I mean, I really don't know. You don't ever know what the NCAA is going to do, what the ruling is going to be, how it shakes out, or how they justify that case. But regardless of that, like, this has to excite Memphis fans. And it clearly has. Like, if you just look on social media, like, fans did a complete 360 of, like, what's going to happen to, okay, this team can win the conference next year, especially if DeAndre's on board. The addition of David Jones was obviously huge, and then now the potential of getting DeAndre Williams back for another year has fans fired up, as it should. I mean, you get arguably the best player in the conference if DeAndre Williams comes back.
Now, seemingly he has a case, but it's so peculiar. Now, granted, I think Don Jackson, who took Penny through the IARP case, he has a lot of experience with these type of cases, getting student athletes years of eligibility back. But I still have my concerns about, you know, when we talk about a guy that was a non-qualifier academically, how does the NCAA view that? Like, that's my biggest question, I think, when we're talking about him getting another year back.
And it's a fair point to wonder. But the thing, I think their best case lies in the fact that it wasn't necessarily his fault that
right.
he was a non-qualifier.
Bad advice, that type of thing.
Right, and who knows what kind of grace or leniency they'll show because of that. But, I mean, this was a kid who was, from, you know, things that we've heard and things that have been said, that was led astray and was led to believe that there would be no issues and no problems. And obviously when he got to Evansville, there was, as he wasn't a qualifier. But with being that far removed from it also, I would say that helps, just out of a guess of it, just being that far removed from that and not being something recent and being like, okay, we feel like we're getting played as the NCAA, but I think they know that case well enough to know that DeAndre thought that he was in the clear and was told that that he would be okay doing what he did. So who knows how it shakes out, man? Who knows how they actually look at it and break it down? But just the prospect and just the thought of it being a possibility is definitely exciting.
And also the other thing that it begs the question of, we've been talking about NIL, potential NIL struggles. I'd imagine if DeAndre's thinking about coming back for another year, that's probably in order for him.
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, that's got to be part of the allure to come back after so many years in college and after you've accomplished everything that he's accomplished. So I can't knock him for it at all. I mean, come back, make a little bit of money, be one of the best players in the conference again, and try to get in the NCAA tournament again and see if you can make some noise. Why not, if you have that opportunity?
And I keep making the joke, it's better than going to the Dominican Republic or Mexico and being away from your family for an extended period of time for probably the same amount of money he'd make in a year at Memphis.
What'd you say last night? Serbia in the winter?
Yeah, right. I mean, it's a no-brainer for him. You see some people say, okay, what time, when? And I obviously, I asked a question last week when I was reacting live to the news when we saw Doc Holliday put out the statement from DeAndre. I said, tongue in cheek, when is it time to move on? But in this day and age, college basketball, like, I don't know, especially for guys that don't really have that NBA upside. I don't know if there really is a great time to move on with the NIL money that could be infused into your college experience.
There's not. Stay is, if you're not going to go make millions and you're not, you don't have those NBA prospects and you're not a guy that could hang on a roster or, stay around for a few years to get the retirement with the NBA or with a professional sports league, why not stay and make some money and bigger than that, even really, because that's such a 1 to 2, that's only a small portion of it. Make those connections, those people that you're going to meet through those things, through working NIL deals and stuff like that, the connections that you get from that, those are the things that can get you jobs later in life if you're not going to be a professional athlete. So NIL is really set up to help these guys pass, you know, their years of college and getting paid by different companies and businesses and stuff, because then you have those built-in connections with people.
And I've said this too. I think the overall health of college basketball with NIL, I mean, roster retainage and keeping guys in the fold, like, that's tough. Like, with the transfer situation and one-time transfer and grad transfers, how easy it is to move around. But at the same time, the star power is still there. And DeAndre Williams is a good example of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, he's not going to be a first-round pick or anything like that. But, I mean, he was one of the best bigs in college basketball last year, averaged 18-8. You know, we made arguments multiple times, you know, could he be the second best player in the conference at this point in the season? Like, we know Marcus Sasser was getting all the buzz and ultimately won conference player of the year, but there were plenty of games where DeAndre not only looked like, you know, a top two or three player in the conference, but there were multiple games where he looked like the best player in the conference. So definitely still star power there.
There was a time, though, I mean, if this was 5 years ago, DeAndre Williams is gone and we don't even think about this. Right.
Right. Yeah, and that just shows you how insane the landscape of college athletics are at this point.
There's drawbacks, but there's also some overwhelming positives to where we're at. And like Nick Saban said, they want to transition to sort of the employer employee system. But I think there would be even more drawbacks to that system if we moved that direction with some of the taxes that have to be paid. You know, you have to pay your dues to a union, right? Like, it becomes a lot more complicated if we go that direction. And I think that ultimately for schools like the University of Memphis, they can still compete in this realm with the way it's set up to a certain extent. I think if you go that route, having to pay full on salaries year after year after year, the schools like Memphis, FAU, all these teams in the AAC would just disintegrate in a lot of ways if you go that route.
Yeah, I'm glad we don't work in college athletics or work for the NCAA. Like,
hell yeah. Could you imagine making these decisions? Oh, my
no
God.
No shot. It is the worst time to work in that field and try to navigate through all these different things coming up at once with NIL, with transfer portal, with, you know, still dealing with or having gone through the COVID year. Yeah, it's a weird, strange, crazy time for college athletics, but we'll see how that stuff shakes out. I'm like you said, I'm glad we're not making those decisions.
Yeah. Now, last thing on the Memphis basketball front, do you have any remote idea of what else could be on the horizon? We'll see what happens with DeAndre Williams. But I mean, I've heard multiple places there's one scholarship open. I've heard multiple places there's two scholarships opened, easy for me to say, because Jaden Hardaway's been a walk-on the past 2 years, but there was some thought that he was going to be back on scholarship. Do you have any remote idea? Just guesses.
No, I mean,
just guesses.
I mean, I would guess one as of right now. And if Mikey ultimately doesn't make it to campus too, but if there were players that he felt like fit in and needed to be here and they wanted to be here, I don't see why moving Jaden off scholarship would be a bad plan. You open a scholarship and then you have a guy in Jaden Hardaway who is good enough to be a scholarship player, but doesn't have to be because, you know, his dad's the coach.
And let me ask you this on just a interesting front, because like I am all for Penny Hardaway standing by a guy that he went and found from on the recruiting trail in Mikey Williams. But do you think him standing by him in this way, trying to make this thing work, do you think ultimately it's a good thing or a bad thing?
That is a very tough question to answer, because I think from just being a person that stays true to their commitments to people, I think it's a great look for Penny that he's not just abandoning
someone. Shows the relationship building he does behind the scenes.
Right. It shows that he's not abandoning someone who's going through a difficult time. And, you know, it's still innocent until proven guilty. Obviously nothing's went through or anything like that. So standing by him, I think, is a good look for Penny. Now, overall, just looking at the state of the program and seeing, you know, where, you know, pieces that could be picked up and scholarships that could be opened, I don't know if it's the best decision to sit and wait, because you don't know if you'll reap the rewards from it. You have no idea the way the situation turns out. So It is a bit of a conundrum. You know, it could go either way. Like you could say it's a positive, you could say it's a negative, and you could make a very compelling case and argument either way, because ultimately you could miss out on getting someone in the portal because you waited too long on Mikey and now he's not going to, you know, not going to be able to come to campus, or something happened to where you do have to cut ties. Or on the flip side of that, you know, staying true and, you know, staying real with the commitment and allowing the things to play out. And if he does make it to campus and have a great year, then Penny looks like a genius for standing by his dad. So it could really go either way.
Yeah, and if he is able to make it to campus and play, I have no, like, you just look at this roster, especially if DeAndre Williams is part of the fold, man. Like I had this conversation, and I brought it up with you, like, how much, if DeAndre Williams gets added to the fold, do they move up when we're talking about preseason rankings? Probably 25 to 30 spots. But if Mikey Williams can be a part of the fold, you have a guy that could potentially grow into being a true point guard that they don't have right this second. My gosh, it feels like the sky would be the limit for this program heading into next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you asked me that last night, and immediately in my head I was thinking 20 to 30 spots with DeAndre Williams. That's how much of an impact he makes. And then I don't believe that Mikey makes that big of an overall impact, especially on the front end. But as we've seen with tons and tons and tons of high-level freshmen throughout the history of college basketball, like, typically when they hit their stride is middle of the year to conference tournament time. So, you know, getting that kind of punch in the middle of the year, or going into the conference tournament, or going into the NCAA tournament, that could be massive for this team if he develops and grows into the role that Penny and the staff have envisioned for him.
Yep. Talking with Christian Fowler at CFowlerBCM from Bluff City Media. You can hear our podcast on the Bluff Pod, Apple, Spotify. You can also go to Bluff City Media on YouTube. Go to that channel and you can find our full-length video there as well. NBA Finals rolling along. It's 1-1 right now. Did Game 2 change how you're viewing this series? I know you were right there with me, sort of that Nuggets and six thought. Did Game 2 change that?
Not really. It really didn't, because even though I feel like Eric Spoelstra and the staff had a great game plan and the players executed it to perfection, you had Gabe Vincent leading the team in scoring, Bam Adebayo played really well, Jimmy Butler played well. Really, the whole team played well both ends of the floor. Duncan Robinson scores 10 points in the fourth quarter to kind of fuel that comeback. Still, as I just mentioned, they needed a comeback to win that game. And that was with really Nikola Jokic being the only player who was effective for the Nuggets. Jamal Murray was pretty inefficient for the way that he's been throughout the playoffs. Michael Porter Jr. didn't play well. Aaron Gordon didn't play particularly well. Really, the second best player on the team was Bruce Brown, your guy. With 11
points.
I think he shot like 3 or 4 from the floor. So even with the whole Nuggets team not playing well, other than Nikola Jokic, they needed a comeback to win, and they only won by 3. Granted, that's a huge win for them going into Denver. Game 2, you could really have your back against the wall going into Miami if you're down 2-0 and they win that game. It still doesn't change my thoughts, because I think Mike Malone, also a very good coach, I think the chess match continues, and we'll see how it shakes out. But I just feel like the Nuggets are such a much better team. And, you know, I know we've said this pretty much every time except the Knicks series with the Heat. But I just feel like with what the Nuggets have, it's going to be too much to overcome.
Do you have the proclaimed untrained eye that Eric Spoelstra says when he was asked a question by Ramona Shelburne about making Jokic a scorer as opposed to a facilitator? Do you have the same untrained eye as me, where if you take the ball and the ball is in his hands and he's forced to go make plays happen at the rim, forced to go be a scorer, that's the best way to go beat the Nuggets? If he's scoring 40, you almost feel like it's a win, as long as he's not having those double-digit assist games.
Yeah, I guess I have an untrained eye as well.
Guess so.
Because I mean, him having 41 points and 4 assists kind of says it all. Because when do you ever see Nikola Jokic have less than 5 assists? It happens very rarely. And when it does, you pointed this out to me last night, when he has less than 5 assists, they're not the same team. Because that's
lost when their last their 9 when that is the case.
Right, because when they're not getting shooters in the corner, when they're not getting the backdoor cuts, when they're not getting those things, they're not the same team. They're not in the same flow. When it's just Jokic posting up at the basket and scoring 40, that's really not their game. Like, for as incredible as he is and for as great of a game as he played on Sunday in game two. Like, that's not their game. Everyone needs to be involved. Jokic is obviously going to get his, but they need everyone else to contribute as well.
Yes, sir. Well, Christian, appreciate it, man. We'll do it again next week.
See y'all next week.
Yes, sir. That's Christian Fowler, Bluff City Media, senior writer and content creator for them, also on the Bluff Pod. Just released today, by the way, with me and Christian. That'll be on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube. Go to the Bluff City Media YouTube channel to check that out. Now, it's time for the Blitz, and we have covered a lot today. We have covered a lot. The PGA Tour and the LIV have combined. We talked about Jaren Jackson Jr. We had more clips there. He made the FIBA World Cup team. That's there, but we have to transition to some other things, and that would be another gambling scandal in the NFL. This one definitely a lot more intrusive, and it has to do with the Indianapolis Colts. And also, per Front Office Sports, there is a leader. There's a leading candidate to replace Shannon Sharpe on Undisputed to sit across from Skip Bayless. We'll tell you who that is, and we'll react to that on the other side on the Gabe Kunsch on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Coming up tomorrow morning, it's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, KJM. Weekdays from 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. on 92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.